Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Page Podcast. My name is John Mayo, and I'll be your host. I've been doing a monthly segment on Comic Geek Speak about the comic book sales estimates for over a year now. I've also been a recurring guest on the Collected Comics Trade Secret Podcast, where Chris Marshall and I discuss the sales estimates for the trades each month. As you might guess, I find crunching the numbers on the sales estimates to be interesting. This episode contains math, but relax. You don't have to do any of it, and there will not be a quiz at the end. Just sit back and enjoy the episode. This past Wednesday, February 7th, I got the following email from Diamond. Due to a Diamond error, the top 100 comics chart based on actual unit sales for 2006 that appeared in the January 16 Diamond Daily and February Dialogue contained a number of placement errors for DC Comics titles. The corrected top 100 comics chart for 2006 is presented here. Attached to the email was the corrected list of the top 300 comics for 2006, and it was the top 300 even though the email referred to it as the top 100 comics chart. The first thing I want to make clear is that there were a few mistakes in the original list of the top comics for 2006 that Diamond released on January 16th. Think about that for a minute. 3 weeks elapsed between the release of the original list and the revised list. Now, some of that was the time it took to compile the revised list, of course. But the mistakes on that original version of the top comics list for 2006 went virtually unnoticed for at least 2 weeks. Now, the fact that there were errors isn't the interesting part. That sort of thing happens from time to time. Nobody's perfect. And given the number of comics of numerous different titles from the various publishers that flow through Diamond each and every week, I can completely understand how some errors in the year-end summary could happen. If anything, I'm pleasantly surprised how rarely this does happen. Diamond admitted there were errors and released an updated list. This list didn't get too much attention when it was originally released. And frankly, I'm not surprised given the nature of this list, but more on that in a moment. The revised data seems to have gone practically unmentioned anywhere on the net, as far as I can tell. Now, I respect the fact that Diamond owned up to the mistakes and fixed them. Diamond didn't have to do that. They could have just ignored the error and moved on. Without knowing the process used by Diamond for compiling the list, it is impossible to know exactly what kind of error there might have been in the data or process that resulted in the incorrect list originally released. What is interesting is that the error was spotted, and it was spotted by somebody outside of Diamond. There are a number of reasons I find this interesting. One of them is because of the nature of the list itself. Unlike the monthly top 300 comics list, this yearly top comics list has no index value of any sort for the items on the list. It was just a ranked list ordered by the number of units each item sold in 2006. Diamond always orders lists based on the number of units and not the dollars, since that's a more accurate way of ranking how well an item actually sold. Otherwise, the top of the list would always be skewed to higher-priced items that didn't sell as well as lower-priced items, but still brought in more money. And these lists are about what sold better, not what brought in more money. Since there is no indication on the list of how items stacked up against each other, I'm not surprised this list got little attention. Heck, I normally ignore lists like this myself. So, what exactly is the index value and how important is it? Well, for those of you not familiar with the monthly top 300 comic lists, each item is not only ranked from 1 to 300, but also has an index value that shows how it did relative to a key issue. This index value is a ratio to that key item and acts as a multiplier. This turns the entire list into a huge algebraic equation with a single x value, the sales of the key item. If you know the sales for any other single item on the list, you can either solve for that x, or at least approximate the value of x. The more data points you have, the more accurately you can determine x. This math is done each month by Milton Greep over at ICV2.com, and John Jackson Miller for Comic Buyer's Guide, Comic Retailer, and CBGXtra.com. And that's extra with no E, just CBGXtra.com. While the results from those two don't always match, they virtually always agree within the granularity of the source data. And what I mean by that is Milton and John each come up with slightly different values for X, but those two values agree within the level of accuracy of the source data. And since both are estimates, neither guy is really wrong. The fact that these guys independently reach such similar results each and every month, in and of itself tells us something. Specifically, it tells us that the data released by Diamond is internally consistent and therefore presumably accurate. Okay, what do I mean by that? As I mentioned before, the index values released by Diamond is how the item sold relative to the key item for the month. The index value for that key item is always listed as being exactly 100.00. The key item is usually the issue of Batman for the month, but that's completely irrelevant. In the months when no issue of Batman is released, such as October 2006, another item is used. In that case, it was the issue of Detective Comics for the month. In months in which more than one issue of Batman is released, such as November 2006, the higher selling issue is usually chosen as the key item. But it could be any item, and it wouldn't really matter if it changed randomly each month. All it amounts to is a relative ranking system that puts all of the sales in relationship to a single value for the month. This has no bearing on the accuracy of the information, but is something that tends to confuse some people. Heck, I've even seen an essay in which the index value is not only referred to as a limitation of the data, but as the support of a conspiracy theory, and even labeled as such in the essay, about Diamond using it to hide shifts in the direct market sales over time. I've heard some pretty wild speculation over the years, but this one really made me laugh. The claim was not only very weak, but very poorly supported. If anything, this system of using a relative index makes it harder for Diamond to hide data. And frankly, I've seen nothing to indicate Diamond would even try to do so. Further, I can't figure out any reason why Diamond might want to misreport the sales, or how it would benefit them if they did. I have no idea what prompted the conspiracy theory, but it seems completely groundless to me. But that was just one of many groundless claims in that particular essay. By releasing information with this index value, the data has a built-in safeguard of sorts to help ensure consistency. If the data were inaccurate, then plugging in the known sales of various items would result in drastically differing values for X, which would point out the inconsistency. In fact, there have been cases in which minor errors in the data have been found because of this. Errors that would have been impossible to find if Diamond released the actual number of units in place of the index value. I'm not going to argue that the index value is preferable to an actual number of units, just that it isn't the limitation of the data that some might incorrectly think it is. In an ideal world, Diamond would release more information, but for now, I'll just take the data that is available and work with it. But what about the granularity of the data? First off, what is data granularity? Simply put, it's the smallest unit of accuracy of the data. It's the level of precision of the data. In this case, one of the main factors that determines the data granularity of the monthly top comics data is the index value, which only goes to two decimal places. Simply put, these values are rounded to two decimal places, and therefore a level of inaccuracy is introduced. This is one of the reasons why the data released by Milton Greeb and John Jackson Miller are estimates and not exact figures. A quick side note here about estimates. Milton has precise integer figures on his list each month, while John rounds his to the nearest hundred. I asked John about this once, and he replied that since the tens and ones can't be accurately estimated, he felt it was best to just leave them off. And I can't disagree with that logic. From my own perspective, as somebody that discusses the numbers verbally on podcasts, I find that rounding the numbers simply makes them easier to deal with in conversation. Obviously, this rounding introduces another level of inaccuracy. To the best of my knowledge, Milton Greeb and John Jackson Miller work on the monthly calculations completely independently of each other. That's important because it acts as a correction mechanism, since the results of one can be compared to the results of the other. If there was a flaw in the process or data used by one of them, then the results wouldn't match. Since the cutover from pre-order data to final order data back in early 2003, the index value estimates generated each month by Milton and John agree well within the accuracy of the source data. prior to that, there were systemic issues of how Diamond compiled the source data, which contributed to a slightly larger variance between the two sets of results. But all that really tells us is the data is internally consistent each month, and the math done by Milton and John is correct. The question then becomes if the numbers are accurate, or at least if they're reasonably accurate estimates. But part of that depends how you judge accuracy. There was a discussion over on theengine.net about the sales estimates and how some of the creators thought they were low. In at least one case, the person was comparing the estimates to sales-to-date information from the editor. And in such a comparison, the estimates would be and should be low. The data released by Diamond each month is based on the items invoiced and shipped through Diamond to retailers in the North American direct market for the month in question. It isn't total sales-to-date information. So to consider the data inaccurate based on that would be incorrect. This is one of the most common mistakes I see made when people talk about the sales estimates. They don't understand what the data is, and equally important, what the data isn't. This is data that has been collected, aggregated, transformed into ratios, reported, and then computed back into units based on other data. So yeah, the data is going to be off a bit, but such is the nature of estimates. It is still meaningful data for judging how things are doing relative to each other within the direct market and for seeing how sales trends are playing out. But all of that has to do with the monthly top comics list, not the yearly top comics list that Diamond revised. Remember, the one without the index values? The one that somebody outside of Diamond noticed was incorrect. The original list had a number of comics incorrectly ranked. Justice League of America number 5 was ranked at 106 instead of the revised rank of 38. Justice number 9 was incorrectly ranked at 171 instead of the revised rank of 134. Green Lantern number 9 was placed at 152 when it should have been at 169. Green Lantern number 8 was misranked at 157 instead of 175. Superman Batman 31 was not on the original list, but ranked at 194 on the revised list. Green Lantern 10 had been misranked at 162 on the original list and dropped to rank 195 on the revised list. OMAC Project Infinite Crisis Special was misranked at 173 and fell to 203 on their updated list. Iron Man number 13 had been ranked at 235, but dropped below Marvel Knights Spider-Man number 72 to place at 237. But this could be a case of the two items having identical or near identical sales and simply getting accidentally flipped when the list was recomputed. Batman number 661 wasn't on the original list, but ranked at 252 on the updated list. Blue Beetle number 1 had ranked at 299, but fell off the revised list. Likewise, Superman number 654 was on the list originally at rank 300, but also failed to appear on the revised list. Only 6 items out of 300 were misranked on a list that only contained the rank, the item codes, description, price, and publisher of the items, and the mistakes were still caught. It kind of makes that claim about Diamond using index values to hide data look even more ridiculous, doesn't it? I don't want to imply that finding the mistakes on this list was trivial. I'm certain that it wasn't. Diamond rarely releases data with noticeable errors like this. And while I think Diamond could improve in a number of areas, they're extremely competent at what they do. These mistakes not only slip past everyone at Diamond, but past people like Milton Greep and John Jackson Miller. Now, in fairness, I'm sure that most of that was because they probably didn't look over the list in any great detail. I'm sure that if either of them had been looking for mistakes, that both of them would have found them. Still, only one person did notice that the original list had some major anomalies, and that was enough to get the list revised. But that begs the question of who noticed the errors and how. Let's start with the how, and then discuss the who. The list of the top comics for 2006 is just that. The list of the top comics for 2006. starts with the number one selling comic for 2006, Civil War number 2, and then lists the next best-selling comic, Civil War number 3, and so on. Since no index value is given for these items, it takes a little bit more work than normal to put some estimated unit numbers on this list. To do so, you have to look up the reported sales on each of the monthly top comic lists. For a comic like Justice League of America number 5, which was released on December 27th, that's fairly easy to do, as it's just the numbers reported for December of about 132,400 units. For a comic like Supergirl number 5, it's a bit more work. That comic was released on February 22nd and had reported sales of around 85,200 units in February. In March, it moved another 17,900 units, and in April, 1,800 more units. This gives it total estimated sales of about 104,900 units. Since Supergirl number 5 didn't appear on the top comic list after April, it's possible that it moved more units, but not enough to be reported on the top 300 comics list each month. While we can't estimate how many units it might have sold that way, we can estimate the maximum number of units that could have gone unreported. To do that, we simply add up the estimates for the lowest ranked item for each month from May to December and get a total of 15,000 units. But how can this be used to uncover mistakes on the list? Well, there are two more pieces to that puzzle. The first is that we can guesstimate Supergirl number 5 probably did have around 4,600 or so more units of unreported sales. How? Remember that list of the top comics is ordered by units, even though those units weren't included on the list. That means that Supergirl number 5, which was ranked at 106, must have sold better than anything below it on the list. That includes the item ranked at 110, All-Star Superman number 5, which had total estimated sales of 109,500 based on the monthly top comics lists. And that's 4,600 units more than the estimated sales were for Supergirl number 5, which outranked it. Therefore, it's reasonable to conclude that Supergirl had to move those additional 4,600 units, and possibly some amount over that, to rank as it did. But the thing that indicates there might have been mistakes in the original list was the original ranking of Justice League of America number 5, just below Supergirl number 5. You didn't think I picked those examples at random, did you? That mistake in ranking implied that Supergirl number 5 would have needed unreported sales of 27,500 units to rank above Justice League of America number 5. The problem with that was not only was that much higher than the possible number of unreported units for Supergirl number 5, it exceeded the maximum number of unreported sales for any title over the course of all of 2006, including January, of about 21,500 units, at which point it was clear that something just didn't add up correctly. While that wasn't the only such oddity in the original list, it was the most obvious and the easiest one to explain. It all comes down to understanding what the data is and isn't, and the implications of that. In this case, it meant that someone with a solid understanding of the available data was able to uncover anomalies in the original list. All it took was an email to Diamond with an explanation of the anomaly, as I just explained it here. Diamond then double-checked their data and verified there were a few mistakes in the original list and revised it. And I want to commend Diamond for quickly and publicly correcting the mistake. This was information that was largely ignored by the comic book community, and as such, Diamond was under no major obligation to correct it. Doing so is further evidence they're trying to report data as accurately as they can, and I respect that. All that leaves is the who. Well, if you haven't figured it out by now, I was the person that found the anomalies. I uncovered them in the process of crunching the 2006 numbers. I wasn't looking for mistakes in the data from Diamond, as there rarely are any. But I noticed the anomalies and got a bit confused as to why the numbers didn't add up as I thought they should. After checking my math a few different times and bouncing this off a few different people to have them check my math and process, I emailed Diamond asking about it. I have to admit, it felt kind of nice that an email from me was enough to get Diamond to double-check the data and issue a correction. I'll be doing a 2006 year-in-review episode soon, in which I go over the overall 2006 sales estimates with Chris Marshall and a few other guests. If you have anything you want covered in that, email me as soon as possible, as we'll be recording that episode in a few days. Before I wrap things up, I want to do a quick shout-out to Bob Retall, JLA fan on the Comic Geek Speak forums, who helped me organize my thoughts for this episode. I also want to give a big thanks to Brian Lobo on the Comic Geek Speak forum for doing a little digging on the internet and double-checking that I hadn't missed any major online discussions of the list of the top comics for 2006. Brian has recently started up a new podcast with Damian, Lord Shaper on the Comic Geek Speak forums, called Cryptographic. Go check it out at www.lordshaper.com/cryptographic. And that's cryptographic spelled KryptoGraphic. That about wraps it up for this episode. Once again, my name is John Mayo, and I've been your host here on the Comic Book Page Podcast. You can find the feed and show notes at www.comicbookpage.com/podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please email me at podcast@comicbookpage.com. Thanks for listening.